one more spring out, round of spring outlooks to go. Just one more. We've been doing it for the past, I would say month or so, yeah. Maybe month and a half of spring outlooks, but we're finally reaching our end of spring outlooks. Going into May, we're going to talk about spring results, and you're probably thinking, dude, enough of spring football, but we got to get through it. Spring football, it is an awesome time to see and evaluate what your team is going to be and what college football can be from certain teams from the spring perspective, but also going into the fall perspective. So it's one more round of spring outlooks and then spring results for the next few weeks. Guys, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and kind of chilly, but also feels really nice out here Tuesday afternoon in Illinois. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You are going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's trivia question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, check out the new website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. There you're going to find a lot of stuff. You're going to find a home and about me page. You're going to find a platforms page, and you can pick out the platforms to listen on for Pigskin Frenzy, as well as our affiliations page, which brings me to our partner. Guys, if you want to look great, if you want to look just spontaneous male or significant others to your male counterpart, you're not going to be disappointed with The Beard Club, our proud partner. You can get a discount, Spring 25, and you can buy a lot of products and a lot of great products at that. You can get body wash. You can get shampoo and conditioner, 2-in-1, a loofah. You can get a boar bristle brush. You can get beard and facial hair grooming products, beard growthing kits, mainly the beard growthing kits. You're not going to be disappointed. When it comes with a razor, you get a nice buzzer. You can get a beard balm, beard oil, cedar or sandalwood. You have beard and face wash. It's a nice citrus beard and face wash that I use when I am in the bathroom and getting ready for my day. It is quite honestly really, really good to use. So all that and more at The Beard Club. You can just go to my website at www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Go to the affiliations page, click on The Beard Club logo, and you will not be disappointed. And then you will go from there to get your products. You can go to my X, Instagram, or Facebook and click on my link tree as well to get products, or click on the link tree, go through that link, and there you'll get products and whatever you want from The Beard Club. The Beard Club, our proud partner for Pigskin Frenzy, just helps you with your beard and it helps you with your facial hair and grooming needs. The Beard Club, our proud partner, thank you for everything that you guys do. College football day today, last rounds of spring outlooks, for the 2024 spring football season. We have quite a few, two of them are in the Big 12, or going into the Big 12. Two of them are going into the Big 10. So we have out in Boulder, Colorado with primetime. We're going to talk about Colorado football. We're going to talk about Arizona and the transition that they're making here in a little bit. We're going to talk about them first. Then Nebraska. We're going to talk about what's going on with Matt Rhule in Nebraska, as well as Washington and the adjustment that they can make now under new head coach Jed Fish after Kalen DeBoer left. So how their spring is going, the outlook that I can get from their spring games. All spring games are three spring games are this Saturday. Friday, May the 3rd is Washington's spring game. So next week is Washington's, but we're going to have our last bit of outlooks for Washington going in for next week, and the last three, for Colorado, Nebraska, and Arizona for this Saturday. So going into the spring outlooks, I love spring football. Like I said in the intro, it helps us evaluate where teams are going to be starting off in the spring, and then what you're looking forward and looking towards in the fall. So I love doing this. I love spring outlooks. I love spring football. It helps us evaluate, early on who could be a contender and who can be a pretender, as we say in the sport. So let's talk about some spring outlooks. Let's go at first. Let's talk about Arizona football. Go down to Tucson because a lot happened. Arizona last season was a complete unknown. No one knew what was going to go down with Arizona in the Pac-12 until we watched them. And when we watched them, we were like, oh my goodness, they're not bad. They have a solid offense. They really stood out in that USC game. Even though USC's defense was notoriously bad, we watched them play, and they looked really, really good. They looked good against Mississippi State as well. Did Mississippi State win that game? Yes, they did. But they gave Mississippi State all that they could handle in Starkville. It was a really good game. Going into overtime, Noah Fafita, Tataiaroa, McMillan, solid wide receiver, Jonah Williams, just a great solid offense, great defense as well. Arizona looked really, really good in some of those games they lost, but they looked really good in some of the games they've won as well. They blew Utah out. They blew Utah out of the water. They beat Oregon State in a very close game that could have probably put them into the Pac-12 championship if Oregon would have lost. A lot of games they won, and it was because of what they did, you know, this past season. They look really good on both sides of the ball, and their coaching was really well. I mean, Jed Fish was unbelievable. It's an unbelievable head coach, was Jed Fish for Arizona, and it was time for them to go back. They were in the Pac-12. Now it's time for them to go to the Big 12, and the Big 12 was it's a jump. I'm not gonna lie, guys, it's a jump. The Big 12 is going from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. It's a jump. There's a lot of competition, happening in the Big 12, right? I mean, you got teams like Utah entering. You got teams like Arizona State, Colorado, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, UCF, Cincinnati. A lot of teams who could be competitive. Kansas. I mean, you got a lot of teams that could in this conference that could be really competitive and could probably hurt Arizona. But with the one thing that Arizona's got going heading into the Big 12 is the offensive firepower they could bring to the table. They got a lot of stuff going on defense. And it's kind of hard, you know, it's really, you know, hard to see what they're going to be on defense. But when you look, they got a lot of the firepower on offense to back them up going into 2024. But their record in overall last season was 10-3, a 10-3 record with under head coach Jed Fish. Honestly, a solid season for the Arizona Wildcats in 2023. Jed Fish ended up taking the head coaching job at Washington after Kalen DeBoer left for Alabama. Jed Fish ended up going to Washington. Then the portal opened up because after a coach leaves, the portal opens up for 30 days. And there were some guys that left. A lot of guys ended up staying at Arizona, surprisingly. Not too many big roster turnover. They decided, hey, we like it out in Arizona. We're going to stay in the Big 12 going into 2024, and we're going to just, you know, keep on with Arizona and Wildcats football and trust the process here. Tataroa McMillan and Noah Fafita are two guys that really could have left, and they really didn't. Redshirt sophomore and junior receiver, senior receiver, and Tataroa McMillan, coming back, and they show true leadership by staying to set an example for Arizona Wildcat football. Their new head coach, Brent Brennan, he spent fought seven seasons as San Jose State's head coach, and he is a solid coach in the Mountain West. He earned 2020 Mountain West Coach of the Year during the COVID year, three bowl game appearances, and San Jose State was really good. In the Mountain West, but also had a lot of promise with Brent Brennan steering the ship for the Spartans. Now he becomes the head coach for Arizona as they enter the Big 12. Solid coach, solid game plan. Let's see what they got going with Brent Brennan this year. And that is my first outlook for the spring. How is everything going to look? How is the program stability? How is everything going to look on all sides of the ball going to look under Brent Brennan's vision. That's my first thing when I watch the spring game going with Arizona this Saturday. What is the vision for Brent Brennan and this team going into the Big 12? Because I'm not going to lie, it is a different conference than the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. It's a different conference. You have a lot of teams that you're going to go up against, including a hungry and now fully back healthy Utah team who was entering the Big 12 and probably the preseason favorites to win the Big 12 championship going into Dallas this season. So it's going to be different. It's going to be different look in 2024. Let's see what Brent Brennan's vision is for the Arizona Wildcats, because that is a really big question for me when it comes to Arizona. What is the vision for Brent Brennan? Honestly, when you look at the roster for the football roster for this season, one big question is Jonah Williams is no longer there at running back. Who is going to pick up that mantle at running back? Jonah Williams ended up transferring to Washington to play under Jed Fish, his old head coach. A lot of people did not leave. Like I said, Tataroa McMillan and Noah Fafita are two guys that did not leave. Who are some guys at the running back spot like a Jonah Williams, because he was a heck of a running back, had a great game in the Alamo Bowl against Oklahoma, who can pick up that mantle and bring that explosiveness like Jonah Williams did at running back? There's a few that names you can name. Kwalee Conley coming in from San Jose State, senior running back, number 7. He's 5'10", 210 pounds. He knows what it takes to play under Brent Brennan's offense and knows what to do running the football. He could be that guy that can step up on offense for the Wildcats going into this season and as they enter the Big 12. Kwalee Conley could bring that spark and explosiveness just like Jonah Williams did for Arizona on offense. He can honestly be one of those guys. You look at him, you can also look, as I scroll down my notes here, you can also look, there's a lot of other options. A lot of other options like redshirt freshman from Highland High School in Palmdale, California, Brandon Johnson. Redshirt freshman Brandon Johnson. He's 5'9", 190 pounds, a little bit on the smaller side maybe, but he brings that explosiveness and that speed in the backfield for the Wildcats, and he could do it. You could run a lot of plays with Brandon Johnson, even though he's a redshirt freshman. I want to see what he does coming into this spring game. You also got junior running back Rayshon Luke, 5'9", 175 pounds, another smaller guy, a little bit smaller than Brandon Johnson in weight, but coming from St. John Bosco High School and I played a little bit, but not a whole lot under Jed Fish. Now you play a little bit more, and his playing time can be, upped, if that makes sense. Can play a little bit up now at running back. So Rayshon Luke can be an option, and I would like to see what he does in the lineup coming up in the spring game. Brandon Johnson could be one, the redshirt freshman, and Kwalee Conley, three solid running back options to replace Jonah Williams and see what the running game is going to do for Arizona. So that's number two on the list. Number two on the list for Arizona. And what I want to see and their spring outlook going into Saturday and just spring camp in general. As I look on the roster, one big thing that I would, like to talk about and like to just see from Arizona is how is the defense going to look like, especially in the linebacker spot? And I think, looking at, as I, get on my notes here, last season for their, Arizona, Iron Kirby, Kirby, their linebacker, who was no longer there, a solid linebacker for Arizona. How is Arizona going to adjust without him, and who's going to take up that mantle? Who's going to take up that mantle for at you know, for 2023, right? So there's a lot of options who could, you know, take up that mantle at linebacker, and who's going to be on the linebacker spot for Arizona. I want to see what they're going to do on defense. That's my real big question, because they got the offensive firepower. They got Noah Fifita at quarterback. They got Tataroa McMillan at wide receiver. Tataroa McMillan, the words, at receiver, and he's a star receiver. So who can take up that mantle at linebacker? Oregon transfer Justin Flo could come in and be a really solid player for Brent Brennan and his defense at Arizona. Linebacker number zero, redshirt junior out of Chino, California, Oregon transfer Justin Flo at linebacker. You got him. What you got at linebacker? As well as Jacob Manu Jr. Out of Santa Ana, California, linebacker number five. He's 5'11", 225 pounds. Jacob Manu, he could be a solid linebacker for the Arizona Wildcats. Another solid linebacker that you can name is a sophomore linebacker number six, Tay Brown. Tay Brown, 6'2", 230 pounds, sophomore out of Chandler, Arizona, Hamilton High School. He could be a solid threat in as a middle linebacker going in for Arizona and Brent Brennan's defense. So I want to see who replaces Kirby on defense. He was the heart and soul of that defense, especially at the linebacker spot. He's now gone. I want to see what they can do at linebacker and how they can replace him and what they're going to look like on defense, especially in the linebacker spots. That's pretty much my outlook on Arizona. What's the vision going to look like under Brent Brennan? What's the mentality going to look like during Saturday's spring game? Number two, who's going to provide that spark at running back after Jonah Williams transferring? And number three, what are the linebackers going to look like, and how's that going to affect and bring some spark to the defense for Arizona? So that's my three outlooks, my main points for Arizona. Their red and blue spring game. Their red and blue spring game is Saturday night, 6 p.m. local time for Tucson, Arizona. You know, go watch Arizona Stadium, Tucson, Arizona, Saturday night, April 27th at 6 p.m. local time. Their spring game is this weekend. Good team. Let's see what they got. They show a lot of promise going into the Big 12. I'm kind of curious to see how Brett Brennan's going to lead this team going into this season. With new head coach, new vision, let's see what's going on and what happens there. So speaking of Arizona, let's talk about one team. Let's talk about Washington, a team where you had Kalen DeBoer. Y'all made it to the national championship. Y'all are the national championship runner-ups. Y'all went and y'all fought hard against Michigan. Y'all lost against Michigan. Y'all had Kalen DeBoer. Nick Saban ended up retiring. You lose your head coach. And then what do? You got to go get a new one, right? And they certainly did get a new one. Speaking of Arizona, let me introduce you to Jed Fish, the new Washington head coach, coming over from the Arizona Wildcats, coming into Washington. He had a good first three seasons at Arizona. First season, rebuilding year. Second season, a lot better. And then 10 times better in his third season, 10-3 for the Arizona Wildcats. Almost played against Washington if Oregon would have lost in the Pac-12 championship game, which could have been the final Pac-12 championship game as we know it. So Washington, a solid team. Arizona was a solid team. Jed Fish is coming in, and he's going to bring an incredible presence, incredible coaching presence for the Washington Huskies, and he's going to build them back up. He's going to really build them back up. You got a good running back coming in Jonah Williams, who was one of the league conference leaders, along with Damian Martinez and Bucky Irving in the Pac-12, including Marshawn Lloyd at USC. Jonah Coleman from Arizona, rather. And you got him. You have another quarter. You got your own quarterback coming in who was one of the best the SEC had to offer in Will Rogers, transferring from Mississippi State. Will Rogers, number seven from Mississippi State, coming in and you know, could most likely will be the starting quarterback as a graduate transfer for Washington. He stayed. He was going to transfer out of Washington after Kalen DeBoer left, and then was like, let's pump the brakes. Let's see what we got with Jed Fish. And Jed Fish is a solid coach. He can still enter the portal if he wants to. The portal is now open for spring, but I think he's going to want to stay and hear everything out in the Big Ten, especially with Washington being in the Big Ten now with Jed Fish. So Rodgers is that quarterback. You can be very confident with him. He can sling it if he wants to. And he's in a system now with Jed Fish where he can sling it. So Washington can look really, really good. They had a really good season last year, obviously. It's a whole different team this season. They lost a majority of their guys, including Jalen Polk, Roma Dunsey, Michael Penix, Dylan Johnson, like I said, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan. They lost, like I said, Michael Penix. They lost a lot of guys. They lost Jack Westover, a lot of guys. But they gained some of those players in the portal. So, and there's a lot of questions that you can ask about Washington. Okay, how are they going to translate into the Big Ten? One big question, and when this is going to start my outlook for Washington, one big, you know, outlook that I have for Washington is, who's going to replace Jabbar Muhammad at corner? I think that is a big question. There's a lot of guys that could replace Jabbar Muhammad. He transferred to Oregon, so Jabbar Muhammad's still in the Big Ten. You got a lot of guys who can come in and replace guys like Jabbar Muhammad. He was a solid corner for Washington and played really well in that conference, in the conference championship, in the playoffs, and in the national championship. So who could be that guy? Obviously, you got Thaddeus Dixon, cornerback number 9, 6'1", 192 pounds, senior out of Long Beach City College, transferring in out of L.A. Thaddeus Dixon, he could be a rust stud in the secondary for Jed Fish's team. And Thaddeus Dixon could get some more playing time coming in, and he could be a really, really good corner to replace Jabbar Muhammad in. You have more. You have redshirt freshman Curly Reed III. Curly Reed III from Lake Charles, Louisiana, Lake Charles College Prep. Redshirt freshman number 16, corner, 6'1", he's 198 pounds. Curly Reed III. He could be and make an immediate impact for the Huskies on defense and in the secondary to replace Jabbar Muhammad. It's tough to replace Jabbar Muhammad, but with talent like this, it could honestly be an easy thing if you wanted to be, replace a guy like Jabbar Muhammad. You also got junior, a guy who, tit for tat, right? You have Jabbar Muhammad going to Oregon. You have another corner from Oregon going to Washington, transferring from Oregon. That's Darren Barkins, cornerback number 19, junior, 5'11", 184 pounds. He can be a really solid playmaker in the cornerback spot for the Huskies. So it could be him. You got Dyson McCutcheon Jr. out of Claremont, California, and out of Bishop Amont. Dyson McCutcheon, defensive back, 5'11", 185 pounds. You got a lot of talent in the cornerback position. Let's see who brings that spark to the secondary, brings that spark to the cornerback position, and helps out and builds builds up that secondary after Jabbar Muhammad goes to Oregon and transfers to Oregon. So that's my first outlook on Washington. My second one is, who is Will Rogers going to throw to? You lose three receivers, three top receivers. Like, it's like a three-headed dragon. You lost a lot in the receiving room, including receivers coach Jamarcus Shepherd, who's now the co-OC and wide receivers coach at Alabama under Kalen DeBoer. Who is Will Rogers going to throw to? That's a real big question there. There's a lot of guys you can talk about. Obviously, Denzel Boston could be one of them, sophomore out of South Hill, Washington, Emerald Ridge High School. Denzel Boston could be a guy, 6'4", 207 pounds. He brings an incredible speed to him. He could be a guy that Will Rogers can throw to in the spring and going into fall. You got Denzel Boston. How about Jeremiah Hunter out of Cal? He transferred in from Cal, senior receiver, 6'2", 200 pounds from Fresno, California, Central High School. California transfer, Jeremiah Hunter, wide receiver number 6. He could be a solid asset to the offense for Will Rogers. So you got Hunter, you got Denzel Boston. How about Giles Jackson from Michigan? he can be a solid player for, you know, for the Huskies. Giles Jackson, senior transfer out of Michigan, from Annandale, California, 5'9", 178 pounds. He can be another solid player for Will Rogers to throw to. You got Giles Jackson, you got Jeremiah Hunter, you got Denzel Boston. How about Rasheed Williams? Rasheed Williams, redshirt freshman, Brentwood, California, coming in from Pittsburgh. He is a solid player. He is from Pittsburgh High School, and he could be a solid player. For Washington, 6'1", 185 pounds, brings a bunch of explosiveness to the receiver position. He could be a solid playmaker for Will Rogers and the receiving core at Washington. Who replaces those top guys? And you got some talent right there. Who could do it, honestly? Who could really do it? So that's another point. My last outlook on Washington really is, how is the culture going to look? So the same question that I got really from Brent Brennan going into Arizona, how's the culture and everything going to look going into the spring and heading into the fall? And this is just my outlook for spring and probably just in general, but mainly for spring. How's the culture different? How is everything going to translate into the spring game? How's everything going to look different for Washington now that Jed Fish is now the head coach and leading everybody in Washington as they go to the Big Ten? How is it going to look? That's my big question. That's what I want to see. I want to see how is everything different? How is it different for the better? Or is it, kind of going backwards a little bit? I want to see what's going to happen in the spring culture-wise on how the team's going to look overall culture-wise. So that's my three outlooks for Washington. The receivers, who's going to be dynamic at receiver? What is the corners going to look like? And who replaces Jabbar Muhammad and brings that spark to the cornerback position? And who's going to provide the culture shift going from Kalen DeBoer to Jed Fish as the head coach for Washington next week is their spring game next Friday, May 3rd, 6:30 p.m. Seattle time, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific on the Pac-12 Network. Dogs After Dark is what they are calling it, spring game for Washington. Even though they're going to the Big Ten, it's still Pacific time, 6:30 Seattle time, May 3rd, Friday, next Friday on Pac-12 Network. So go and watch and support. If you're there in Seattle, go and support your Washington Huskies. So curious to see what they're going to look like in the Big Ten. Going back to the Big 12, Let's talk about Colorado. I was wondering if I wanted to talk about Nebraska or Colorado first. Let's talk about Colorado first, and then we'll get to Nebraska as we move forward quickly here. We are 28 minutes into the show. We're almost out of time here. So let's move forward with these two teams quickly on this episode of Pigskin Frenzy. So let's talk about Colorado, and let's talk about last season for a little bit before we go into the spring. Now, last season was interesting. Last season was a bunch of hype. It was really hype. It really was. I mean, let's just be honest about Colorado. Hyped. They won against TCU. They brought Shedeur Sanders in. They brought Travis Hunter in. They brought Shiloh Sanders in on defense in the secondary. They have Amari and Miller, a lot of guys, Dylan Edwards, a lot of guys on that team who are solid playmakers for Colorado from the portal and in recruiting itself. Colorado brought in a lot of guys. Deion Sanders put in a lot of work in the offseason in his first season as Colorado head coach. Now he knows what it's like to coach in a Power 5 conference, Pac-12, even though it's the Pac-12, still Power 5. He's going to a harder conference in the Power 5, and that is the Big 12 in his second season as Colorado head coach. He's still transferring. He's still recruiting and trying to recruit at an elite level. Shedeur Sanders is entering his final season as a college football quarterback, most likely. Travis Hunter is entering his final season as a college player, two-way player in his own right, most likely, as well as Shiloh Sanders as well. So when you look at Colorado, they won a lot of games last. They won some good games. They beat Colorado State in some thrilling fashion in double overtime. They beat TCU. They beat TCU in a thrilling game in the first game of the season. They won a fantastic game. They won against Nebraska, and they won against Arizona State. That's all they won, was four games. One thing that caught my eye was when they played Oregon. That was my thing. There was a lot of hype going into that Oregon game. They went into Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. I picked Oregon to win that game. I said Oregon was going to win that game because I thought Oregon was the better team. I thought that Bo Nix was the better quarterback. He was the, and it proved to be, he was the 2023 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, was Bo Nix. It was one of those things where you look at him and you're like, oh, man, he is a solid player. He is a, Oregon's a solid player. They got some good playmakers on that team. I don't see how Colorado's going to do it yet because they're just really not ready, I don't think, to contend right now. They still got some building up to do. They went in and, trash talked a little bit. They went on to the Oregon logo in the middle of the stadium, just wiped their feet on it and were filming stuff and all that stuff. Dan Lanning infamously said, we're fighting for wins while they're fighting for clicks. Oregon ended up winning that game 42-3. Point blank, Oregon ended up winning that game 42-3. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, was he said, we got our tails beat. And he admitted it. They admitted it. He says, we got some work to do. And they do have some work to do. They did have some work to do. Lost to Stanford, lost to USC. USC showed a lot of promise. Blew a lead over Stanford. They should have won that game. They blew that lead. Lost to Utah and lost the rest of their games. They went 4-8. 4-8 as my mind corrects me, 4-8. Guess what? That's honestly an improvement from where they were before. Before Deion Sanders got there, they only won one game. They went 1-11, 1-11 at Colorado. And then Deion brought his everything in. They went 4-8. So not good, didn't go to a bowl game, but it's improvement. It's improvement for where Colorado was the year prior. Can they translate that into this season? What's the spring going to look like? Number one, and this is my big outlook, I want to see more development out of Shedeur Sanders. And you're going to think Shedeur Sanders is a solid quarterback. The rumors are floating around Shedeur Sanders is projected right now, as what I've been hearing, as the number one quarterback prospect in the 2025 NFL draft. That's the 2025 NFL draft. That's next year. The draft is this Thursday. I can't wait for it. We're going to talk about that here at the end of the episode. Our draft special is this week. So, yeah. But the thing is, Shedeur Sanders, to me, did not play like the number one quarterback in 2025 NFL draft. That's just me. He showed some promise. He absolutely showed some promise. But he didn't play like the number one quarterback in 2025. I think there is some development that Shedeur Sanders has to do before we talk about that. I want to see him get better at some decision-making. I want to see him get better at holding on to the ball for too long and getting the ball at a more efficient rate and losing the hero ball. Don't put it all on your shoulders. You got Amari Miller there. You have Travis Hunter there playing receiver. You got some guy. You got Dylan Edwards. You got some guys on the team where you can, it's a team effort, man. You don't have to put it all on your shoulders. So I want to see what Shedeur Sanders and how he develops in the spring. That's my number one outlook for Colorado, and see how he develops in the spring. Number two, how's everything going to look on the defensive side of things? I want to see what the linebacker spot's going to look like. Graduate transfer inside linebacker Levante Bentley. He comes in from Clemson, from Birmingham, Alabama. He came in from Clemson. He is going to be a huge, crucial part as a graduate transfer for Colorado in the linebacker spot. I want to see what their linebackers are going to do. I want to see what they're going to look like on the defensive line as well, and how they're going to play some physical football on defense. Especially after Charles Kelly is now at Auburn. Since Charles Kelly's now at Auburn, I want to see how they're going to look on defense going into the Big 12 going into this season. So that's number two for me for Colorado. And number three, how's the roster turnover going to affect this spring? A lot of roster turnover. The transfer portal has opened up before you know, their spring game this Saturday. And Cormani McClain, a notorious defensive back who's a solid defensive back and cornerback for the Buffaloes, a freshman Buffalo, entered the portal. He is no longer a part of the team. He is entering the transfer portal. I want to see how they're going to look, you know, with a lot of the roster turnover and how they're going to regroup and bounce back after losing some key players for this team. So that's my number three for Colorado and how they're going to look for my spring outlook. So those are the main three things that I want to see from Colorado going in to Saturday, and especially in, you know, for the rest of spring. Colorado's spring game is this Saturday. This Saturday, as we get closer towards the Big 12. So this Saturday, Black and Gold Day spring game in Boulder, Colorado, April 27th, Saturday. Go and watch and support your Colorado Buffaloes this Saturday for their spring game. So that's Colorado's spring outlook, and that's what I got for the Buffs and what I want to see from them as Deion enters his second season here going into the Big 12. So another one. And this is my last one before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. And what I'm kind of curious about heading into this spring, I guess, but going to the Big Ten again, Nebraska. I'm curious to see what Nebraska is going to look like. And before we wrap up today's Pigskin Frenzy episode, just real quickly, Nebraska wasn't in a good place with Scott Frost there. They weren't in a good place at all. They hired Matt Rhule, who was with the Carolina Panthers, and they hired Matt Rhule. He was a solid option for this team. I believe he's a good fit there. Still is a good fit. He's recruiting at a high level. He is, you know, transferring in at a high level. And they also landed the number one quarterback prospect going into this season, and that's Dylan Raiola. Dylan Raiola, who was supposed to be a Georgia Bulldog after Carson Beck announced he was coming back. He announced that he was going to decommit from Georgia and go to and get flipped over to Nebraska. He signed with Nebraska, solid quarterback option there. Let's see how everything's going to go for Nebraska and Dylan Raiola. And that's actually where my point goes with Nebraska. I'm curious to see what the change is going to be, because Nebraska showed some promise in a lot of games last season. Can they continue to rebuild, and can they win more games this season? They have to have a quarterback. How is Dylan Raiola going to fit into this? That's the number one outlook I got. What's Dylan Raiola going to look like as a college quarterback? That's my number one for going into the spring. What's Dylan Raiola going to look like going into spring ball? I'm curious to see what he's going to look like. Number 15, freshman out of Buford, Georgia. He most likely will start. You don't recruit him at a high level like that as the number one prospect in 2024. And, you know, as the number one quarterback prospect in 2024, and then not start him, right? So let's see how he's going to look and how he's going to develop. Is it going to be a lot better than Jeff Sims? Because Jeff Sims, that was something, right? So how's the quarterback going to play going to look with Dylan Raiola and other quarterbacks? How's it going to look? How's the battle going to go? It could be a battle. You got some other guys on this team besides just Dylan Raiola. You have Chuba Purdy still. You have Luke Longville, 6'2", 200-pound sophomore. You got him still on the team. You got Daniel Kalen, who's another freshman quarterback who could still be in the running to play. I think Dylan Raiola is in the forefront of everything right now, though. But let's see how they're going to look at quarterback and see how they're going to look quarterback-wise. Number two, what are they going to look like on at defensive back? I think that's going to be a real big question for Nebraska, is their secondary. You got Mason Jones, who's a solid option at defensive back. He is a 5'11", 185-pound redshirt freshman out of Omaha, Nebraska. He could, bring a lot of noise as well. Elijah Judy is still there, number 16, defensive back. Elijah Judy, junior, 280 pounds, 6'3", out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He could be a, you know, coming in from Texas A&M, he could be a really, really good option for Nebraska and Matt Rhule in the secondary spot. You got the Hill brothers, Bly Hill and Tamah Hill, or Tommy Hill and Bly Hill, the defensive back brothers from Baltimore and Orlando. So you got two guys there who could be solid defensive backs there. And, you know, just overall, what are the defensive backs going to look like? Malcolm Hartzog, defensive back, 5'9", 175 pounds, junior, out of Silver Creek, Mississippi, Jefferson Davis County High School. I know where that is specifically. So what are they going to look like on defensive back in the secondary? That's a key question for Nebraska. Quarterback play and defensive back for Nebraska. How's everything going to look there? And number three, are they going to be more physical? That's what I want to see. Can they be more physical up front? Because they struggle with that a lot in some games, especially in the Colorado game. They struggle with that. Can you be physical in the Big Ten and compete up front? So that's a big question for me for Nebraska and what I want to see for the Cornhuskers going into their spring game and their spring Saturday. So those are the big three, the main three things that I want to see from Nebraska: quarterback play, that spark in the secondary at defensive back, and if they're going to be more physical. So that's what I want to see from them. So, Nebraska, their spring game is this Saturday. This Saturday is their spring game on Big Ten Network, 11 a.m., 12 Eastern, 11 a.m. Central in Lincoln, Nebraska, Memorial Stadium, Saturday, April 27th is their spring game. Go out and watch it on Big Ten Network, or go out if you're a local in Lincoln, Nebraska, and watch the Cornhuskers, develop and see if the Cornhuskers can bring some spark back into their program heading into fall camp for the 2024 season. That was my last round of spring outlooks. Next week, we will be discussing our first round of spring football results, including Auburn, including Alabama, including Clemson, including NC State. So four results there: Auburn, Alabama, NC State, and Clemson. We're going to talk about our spring results there for those four schools. We're out of time. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday, just for Tuesday afternoon, to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You're going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's college football question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, check out the website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Thank you to our partner at the Beard Club for meeting grooming needs. Go to my website on the affiliations page at www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com to shop at the Beard Club, as well as the link tree on X, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can click on that link tree and click on the link for the Beard Club to get your Beard Club products. Guys, Thursday, it is the day that we've been waiting for the past 3.5 months. NFL Draft Special, the draft episode, the Pigskin Frenzy Draft Special, our second ever Draft Special episode is this Thursday. I'm excited about it. I can't wait for it. I'm ready to rock and roll. We will release here at Pigskin Frenzy our round one mock draft for our draft special episode and go through 1 through 32 in order and are releasing our selections for the NFL draft this Thursday. Our draft special episode is this Thursday on Pigskin Frenzy. That's then next week. I just said we'll do our spring outlook, our spring results. This was our last round of spring outlook. So until Thursday, for our draft special, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then. And for everybody out there, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And please, and always, stay the course.